Penguin Random House Audio presents Beyond This Harbor, Adventurous Tales of the Heart by Rose Styron. Read for you by Cassandra Campbell and the author.
Good night, great summer sky. Good night, great summer sky, world of my childhood and the star-struck sea. White chaise from that ancestral southern porch, my raft. White goose-down quilt, my ballast. Under Orion, on the green-waved lawn, I float, high. New moon, old craft, tied strong as ever to the sheer horizon. Over the seawall on the dock, Andromeda, their strict and jeweled guard, as tall Orion, seas and lawns ago, chose to be mine. Our children sleep. Alexandra, Tom, under their folded goose-wing sails, true friends in dream. The folly wrangle of their sibling day, outshone by starlight. Calm island evening, never-ending sea, our lovers' rages too are quiet, drowned. Miracle of midsummer, the trust of dark, sails us beyond this harbor. For our four extraordinary loving children, Susanna, Paola, Tom, and Alexandra, and for their splendid caring children, Emma, Lila, Tavish, Tommy, Lulu, Gus, Huck, and Sky. Chapter 1, Chile. 2 weeks that changed my life, from being primarily a poet, wife, and mother, to becoming an activist, occurred starting before New Year's and in early January 1974. My oldest daughter, Susanna, and I found ourselves in a hotel swimming pool on the outskirts of Santiago, Chile, tossing a big red beach ball around with some new Chilean women friends. As far as anyone knew, we were two innocent American tourists, unaware that we'd chosen the saddest time in Chile's history to do our New Year's vacationing there. At least, that was the impression I hoped we were making on the government agents, who were no doubt spying on us. I feared that if they discovered our true reason for being there, my daughters and my lives and those of our new Chilean friends might be in serious peril. 4 years earlier, in free and open elections, the people of Chile had chosen Salvador Allende, a medical doctor and a Marxist, as their president, hoping to cure some of the country's chronic economic woes and to narrow the huge gap between its very wealthy elite and its very poor citizens. Allende nationalized banks and copper mines and raised wages for the working class. This made him many enemies among Chile's business elite. In the United States, meanwhile, President Nixon's National Security Advisor Henry Kissinger determined that a Marxist government in Latin America could not be tolerated. The CIA, which had been carrying out covert operations in Chile since the 1960s, helped to instigate a military coup. That coup came on the fateful date of September 11, 1973, when General Augusto Pinochet led a swift, brutal, U.S.-backed takeover of the government. President Allende died in the siege of La Moneda, the seat of government and presidential palace, in the capital city of Santiago. Pinochet's junta launched its dirty war, a vicious reign of terror against anyone in Chile, foreigner or citizen, accused of participating in, supporting, or just being possibly sympathetic to the Allende government. Allende's cabinet members vanished into torture centers spread around the country and as far away as the Chilean Antarctic territory. Tens of thousands of others, whom the new junta accused of being dissidents, a new term then was the disappeared, including many students and artists, Americans among them. Not long after the coup in Chile, I got a phone call from Janetta Sagan, a senior figure at London-based Amnesty International, an organization I had joined in 1969. Janetta told me that First Lady Hortense Allende was to speak at the UN in February 1974, and I'd been chosen by Amnesty International to go to Chile and bring back all the data I could gather on Allende's ministers who had been killed or were imprisoned somewhere since the coup. This information would substantiate Mrs. Allende's report to the UN. I was also to seek the whereabouts of artists and American students arrested and dragged into the infamous Estadio Nacional de Chile, the huge soccer stadium in Santiago that the junta had converted into a detention camp. Why did they choose me to go? I was a poet and mother, married to the novelist William Styron, not a secret agent. But that was why, I guess, I could plausibly pose as an innocent American tourist, just taking in the sight, unlikely as it was anyone sane would choose to vacation in Chile at that moment. I agreed almost instantly. Since joining Amnesty, I had helped to monitor the status of political prisoners on other continents and raise public pressure to free them. I'd met Janetta in 1972 at a Paris conference where Amnesty launched its campaign for the abolition of torture. This would be my first undercover work for the organization. I had no sense of fear. If I had realized how dangerous it might be, I would not have taken my daughter along. Janetta flew to New York from San Francisco, where she then lived with her American husband, to meet with me, brief me, and give me names and contact numbers to memorize. She was tiny. Her nickname was Topolino, Little Mouse. but she had a lion's heart.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?